Really excited to be here with you tonight. Thank you for being here. My name is David. I'm the lead minister here. And what a great job our kids did telling the Christmas story, right? Let's give them a hand. A couple things I also want you to know. One of our volunteers, Sean Watts, did all the cookies out in the at the coffee table. And they're wonderful. Hope you get some and take them home. They're beautiful, and she did a great job with those. And also, some of our volunteers set up several photo ops for you tonight. There's one here in the room with the Christmas trees. There's one over here in the corner with the star and the night stars, more stars. And then you can kind of get the theme for this month if by looking into the worship center or worship area from the foyer. So we're really thankful to be here tonight. And I love nights like this when we get to gather and worship with our families. As a church, we sort of carve out a little bit of time every Sunday morning to worship as a family. And I want to echo what Michael said by thanking you for being here and making Two Rivers Christmas Eve at Two Rivers a part of your Christmas Eve. We're so thankful that you're here. A couple weeks ago, speaking of having our families together, our small group Christmas for Christmas, we decided with our small group to go out to dinner. We actually came over to the building and we prepared our part of the Winterfest, which was part of our children's ministry for December. And then we decided to go to dinner, and we went down to Famous, and we just had this long table of families, and on one end was some of the adults, and then one of our adults was kind of at the far end of the table, and there was two little girls sitting across from him at the table. And so you know how adults are, that he was trying to be funny, and one of the girls, I think she's seven, Abby, asked Eric what his name was, and he, trying to be kind of funny and engaging with these kids, said, "You can just call me Mr. Exceptional." I thought it was pretty good, right? And so Abby tried a couple times to say Mr. Exceptional and finally gave up and said, "I'm just going to call you Mr. Acceptable." You see what she did there, right? Hilarious. Guys, beware in the coming years, right? And I love the line in the Christmas carol, "Joy to the World," that we've kind of been focusing on this month. "Let every heart prepare him room." And it occurs to me that there is this connection between joy and preparation. I want to read, the kids did a great job with the Christmas story, but I want to read from Luke chapter 2 tonight. And I want to just kind of read as quickly as I can the Christmas story that we're used to from Luke chapter 2. The words will be up on the screen if you want to follow along. "In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own towns to register. So Joseph also went up to the town of Nazareth, from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You'll find a baby wrapped in cloths lying in a manger.' And suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests.' When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about.' So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all of the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told." So I do believe that there is this connection between joy and preparation. Like, most of us have spent the last month or more preparing for tonight and tomorrow, right? We've decorated our houses. We've bought presents. We've wrapped presents, most of them by now, we think. We've cleaned our houses, preparing for guests. Food has been brought and prepared. So why do we do all that? And I've heard this more than once in the last couple weeks. We do all of this preparation so that when the time comes, when Christmas Eve or Christmas Day is here, I've heard people say, so we can enjoy Christmas, right? We don't want to be rushing around at the last minute doing everything, right? The idea is that the more we do ahead of time to prepare, the more joy we'll have when the time comes. And there's a lot of truth in that idea. Preparation relieves some of the stress and makes room for joy. But that wasn't really the case with Mary and Joseph, was it? They weren't really able to make all the preparations that they would have liked. They didn't book a room ahead of time on hotels.com, right? They probably waited until the last moment thinking Mary might deliver the baby before they left on this journey. They traveled from their home in Nazareth, about 90 miles walked to Bethlehem, Joseph's ancestral home. And when they arrived, there were no guest rooms available. So that lack of planning and preparation would have probably ended most of our marriages, right? Can you imagine being Joseph and Mary 9 months pregnant? Like, why didn't we have a plan? That lack of preparation would have made most expecting moms anxious and angry, but not Mary. Did you catch Mary's attitude about the whole thing? Verse 19, Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. See, her joy didn't come from everything going smoothly, and here's why. Because her preparation was not about travel arrangements and hotel reservations. She had prepared her heart. In Luke chapter 1, an angel appears to Mary and tells her that this news that she's going to conceive a child, and that child is going to be the Messiah. And even though she was not pregnant at the time, which our kids brought up, nor even married, she believed the message and trusted God. And after the message was confirmed by her relative Elizabeth, Mary, in Luke chapter 1, sings this song. Listen to these words. Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name." So Mary had joy, not because everything was about the story was perfect, but because she had prepared her heart for the arrival of the king. She could see beyond the accommodations and the lack of comfort. She could overlook the feeding trough being used as a cradle because she had prepared her heart to see Jesus, the Messiah. And through this young girl whose heart was ready, through this small family of Joseph and Mary, they had prepared their hearts and the Messiah came into the world. And really, as I think about a night like this when we're all together, when I think about Mary and Joseph, Christmas really is, at its core, about family. Right? It started with this young family who were faithful and whose hearts were ready. And because of Mary and Joseph's faithfulness, the Messiah was born. And that now, we too can become part of God's family because of that. Listen to how John describes the coming of Jesus. John chapter 1. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or of husband's will, but born of God. Because Jesus came into this world, because Jesus was born, we can now become a part of God's family. Just a month or so ago on Thanksgiving Day, I received a text from the brother of a friend that I have here at church. And I've gotten to know him over the last few years and because through my buddy here from church. And so he texted me on Thanksgiving. And it was cool, but I noticed that I wasn't the only one in the text. Like it was, now I'm like in this whole group text. You know how those go, right? You ever been in a group text? And so I keep getting texts throughout the day from numbers that I don't know. I know a couple of people that are texting, but I wasn't annoyed. It just felt like maybe I'm in the middle of something that I shouldn't be, since I really don't know anyone in the thread except my friend and his brother and a couple other people. I don't really recognize any of the other numbers. So the next time I see my friend at church, I say, I think I'm in the middle of some group text thread. And he just kind of looks at me and smiles and says, yeah, that means you're a part of the family. I think he was kind of joking, you know, but it also kind of touched me that someone would add me to their family. See, Jesus came to this world, and that's the story of Christmas. He was born into this young family, Mary, Joseph, and now we can be added to God's family. See, this Christmas, I'm praying for you to have joy. The kind of joy that only comes from knowing the one who was born that day. The kind of joy that comes not because you have all your presents wrapped or because you think you've got everything ready and a schedule down, but because you have prepared your heart to receive the King of Kings. And I pray that you'll continue to allow room in your heart, in your family, for the Messiah to arrive each and every day. Did you ever notice that at the center of every Christmas card or nativity scene, you almost always find the manger, right? Usually there's a couple shepherds kind of in this area and maybe some kings over here and Mary and Joseph sort of beautifully looking into the manger, this feeding trough where the baby Jesus lays. I mean, it's the centerpiece of every nativity scene, isn't it? And I think for us as a church family and for you and your family, I think my prayer is that this Christmas and maybe this next year or maybe for the rest of your lives, that we would just keep Jesus as the center. Will you pray with me? God, I thank you for this time we've had tonight with our church family to worship and to think about Jesus and think about Christmas. I thank you for our church family, the kids that taught us so well tonight, the story of Jesus' birth. But Lord, mostly I thank you for Jesus. And God, I pray that we would find joy in being with our family, yes, but Lord, being with our family in your family this year. And God, I just pray that you would help us to keep Jesus as the center of our lives, that he would be the focus, that we would follow him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. We pray this in Jesus' name.